Number 9, Chris Page with $6,305. Number 8, Tim Diekman with $7,708. Number 7, Christopher Clark with $8,910. Number 6, Ron Williams with $10,593. Number 5, Vlad Stefanovic with $10,876.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Number 4, Eric Jenkins with $15,355. Number 3, Mike Colburn with $18,059. Number 2, Gus Villagran with $18,271. And coming in at number 1 for the week, we have Aaron Hollid with $23,380. And so that is our top 10 for the week, which leads us right into our top 10 for the month of August. And guys, these numbers were unbelievable. You know, I remember when I first started doing this a year and a half ago, you know, it was great, good numbers. But nowadays, these are phenomenal and tongue twisters as I read them. So starting at number 10, we are already over $15,000. So number 10 for the month, Zoltan Kovacs with $18,671. Number 9, Ronald Williams, and he is a rookie writer, first month out in the field with $20,689. Number 8, Katrina Mills with $21,864. Number 7, Mike Leidecker with $22,334. Number 6, Eric Jenkins with $22,449. Number 5 for the month, Tim Diekman with $28,479. Number 4, Nate Offert with $36,643. And number 3, Aaron Hollid with $38,352. Number 2 is Mike Colburn with $42,630. And number 1 for the month, Gus Villagran with $49,604. So those are amazing numbers, you guys. Great job. Way to do it. Now looking at top rookie writers for the month, I'm just going to go through with the top 5 here. Ava Ackerman with $3,460. Number 4, Gary Floyd with $4,129. Number 3, James Potts with $4,766. Number 2, Anthony Dean with $9,385. And number 1 rookie writer for the month, again, Ronald Williams with $20,689. And guys, when I say rookie writer, these are guys that this is their first month in the field. They've never been out in the field before. So that is astounding for their first month. Good job. Great job, guys. Congratulations. And so then I want to go over the yearly leaderboards. We don't do that quite as often. I update those once every month. We've had some movement, and so I want to go over that. So we're looking at the top 10 for the year of 2016 so far. Number 10, Zoltan Kovacs with $123,490. Number 9, Brad Smith with $131,450. Number 8, Tim Diekman with $134,905. Number 7, Matt Smith with $152,640. Number 6, Gus Villagran with $157,260. Number 5, Katie Rudick with $172,184. Number 4, Nate Offert with $173,824. Number 3, Daniel Mundank with $181,288. Number 2, Mike Colburn with $231,035. And leading the pack at number 1 is Aaron Hollib with $235,586. And if you think those are some big numbers, you should try reading them. It gets my tongue in quite the twist. So I do not have a whole lot of announcements. I did want to take just a few minutes and go over a couple of things regarding contracting paperwork. Basically, guys, I just want to give you a few tips and a few lessons or understanding in a couple of things with paperwork that might help get your new agents contracted quicker. There are some things that you could do that you could tell your new recruits that might speed the process up, because sometimes I have contracts that will sit for a week or 2 weeks because of minor things that need to happen. And so I just wanted to go over a few of those items that really make a difference so that when you're recruiting agents and you're sending them to agent training, you can say, hey, by the way, when you fill out your contracting, please make sure to do this. And there are things that you may not think are a big deal, but they are absolutely required. Let's say, for instance, the signature authorization that has to have an actual signature on it. And when that thing comes in, it has to be crystal clear, black and white. If there is any shadow, any gray, any off color, it will not be accepted by Symmetry and will get sent back, because the software that they use to scan in will only accept complete black and white paper. So I've had one this week that I've had to send back three times. And there's times when I'll try to whitewash them myself and they still won't take it, and I have to send it back to the agent again. So one of the things you can tell them is when they are taking the images and scanning those signature authorizations, EFT forms, AMLs, licenses, they need to be crystal clear, black and white, good pictures, good images with no shadows. So those are things that you can convey to them so that they know to not send a not so good picture, because it's going to slow the process down. Another area that we get sludged up with a lot is work history and address history. People not accounting for gaps, people leaving off 2 weeks of an address between times. It doesn't matter if they only lived with their mom for 2 weeks or their cousin for 2 weeks. They still have to put an address down. There can be no gaps whatsoever. Same thing with employment. No gaps whatsoever. If they took a week off, we need to know that. If they took a week off between positions, things like that. And it has to go back 7 years. It must go back to 2009, or again, it will get stopped. It will get put on hold and sent back to the agent to fill that out. Another thing is EFTs. If the EFT is not filled out on top and signed, even if they're sending a letter from the bank, that EFT portion has to be filled out and signed. And the only thing that can be accepted with that EFT is a bank letter or an actual real check with their information printed on it. It even has to be over the number 100. That is how specific it is. And again, guys, I'm not going to go into all the details of why. I'm sure you guys go, well, why do they have to have this? Or what? You know what? That's not my job. I don't ask those questions because I just do what I'm told. And so these are things that keep slowing stuff down. So if you want to be proactive on your end and give a little coaching when they're going to fill out those applications, I guarantee you if you coach that from the front, it's going to speed it up on the back end, and we won't be slowed down getting people's paperwork in. Those are the main ones that I've been dealing with this week that have slowed multiple people down, but I'm sure there's other things. And as they come up and I think of them, I will convey those to you. But those are just a few tips and tricks to help you get your agents contracted quicker. Other than that, I don't have anything else. I'm anxious for this call. So I will pass it off to whoever is taking it from here.
Well, we appreciate that, Jen. Can you write that? Give you some more work to do. Can you
yep.
rewrite that down in terms of the top 10? I would just put it as top 10 things that will hold up your contract. And what
sure.
we can do is we can post on the website, and so we can put big red letters or whatever prior to filling out your contract. please pay attention to the top 10 things that are going to cause you to do that, or we can figure out how
great.
To integrate that with Matt's incredible system he's been designing on the back end in terms of these automatic email things. But just if we can have that in writing somewhere, tentatively we'll put it up somewhere and take care of that.
That's great.
Yeah, the numbers you're going over, sheesh, unbelievable, guys.
I know.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just, it's... It's like, when you're little and your mom and dad used to talk about the milkman coming by and dropping off the milk, you're like, oh, my God, you're so old. And then if you think about it, guys, I was telling a story the other day about, you know, moving to Minnesota was less than, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was. It seemed like yesterday. And I ended up winding up living somewhere that was 40 minutes away when I was told it was 50 minutes away. And people think it sounds really stupid now, but back then we couldn't go on our phone and pull up MapQuest or go on the computer. We didn't have maps. We didn't have the internet. It wasn't like I was going to go buy a map from the map store of Minnesota in order to move. It's like, you know, things are growing so quick. It's like, you know, we look at, you know, we most of us on the phone know what a VHS tape is. You tell my son, 10 years old, a VHS, what? Kind of like when the beta things came out, right? And what happens in this business and life and everything else, the more advanced that people start to become, the higher and higher the bar is set. And you hear numbers of what Aaron Holub's doing, and you hear Michael Colburn, and, I mean, Gus Villagram. Gus Villagram, less than a year in his business, did $51,000 in a month. What is it? Daniel, I know he'll be happy because he's a little bit higher than my numbers were for the year, whatever the case may be. But it's all right, Daniel. I'm just part-time in the field. That's just a little family thing. We had a little jesting there. But, I mean, here's a kid that just came out of college, no experience in insurance, no experience really in life, who's written close to 200,000, top three in the entire SWAT team, less than, what, 8 months in the business? I mean, you talk about Ron Williams coming out first, you know, rookie writer, first 2 weeks out in the field, boom. Lidecker, just brand new in the organization. I mean, Chris Page is killing it. Tim Diekman, man, what a month that he's having. I mean, I wish I could look at the leaderboards. I'm not. I don't want to leave anybody out, guys. And that's the hardest thing when we start naming people. Think about it. Every one of you that has your name got mentioned tonight, we know who you are. We're watching what you do. We see you on our reports. So if you don't hear your name on the conference call, don't feel that. Go, oh, they forgot about us. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. We see Andrew Mendez is back in the game. Not sure where he went for a while, but he's back in the game. We see that Chris Page is doing $60,000, $70,000 in his base shots and getting issued about 90-some-5% of that. He has one of the highest issue rates in the entire company, in our entire organization. We see what's happening, and we're excited about what's happening. We see people like Chris Clark, you know, that's new to this industry, $8,000 in a week. And I'm just trying to remember some of the names that you went over because, again, you were tongue-twisting. I was trying to remember all these names, and you hear some of the names that we know, and we hear a lot of the new names. And it gets us very excited about this, guys, because I've always said that the people that are going to make the most amount of money in Symmetry haven't even signed up yet. Haven't signed up yet. And due to popular demand and the people who think – the people that sign up first make the most amount of money are dead wrong. It's about as silly as going, the first person who ever started the church has the biggest congregation. I think most of you guys who go to church, who are religious, or maybe have some type of religion that you're at, whether it be a church or a tabernacle or whatever the case may be, how silly would it be to go, well, you know, this whole developing churches and expanding churches across the country, really, it's really a cool thing, but, you know, I'm a little late. It's about 2,000 years, you know, A.D., first person to start a church has the biggest congregation. There's really not a lot of opportunity here. That's silly. We would all say, well, you don't understand. You know, I live in Texas. Joel Osteen has one of the biggest churches that's out there in existence to mankind, and he's about 1,985 years late. So as you guys are getting involved in this business and understand, you were at the prime right time. You don't have to have a machete in your one hand and a storage bottle of water trying to catch rain as when it rains out to try to make sure you have drinking water. You got people in front of you and in front of us who paved the road. They put in concession stands. There's pit stops. There's restaurants along the way in case you get hungry. And the reason that you're having these numbers that continue to grow and grow, and they're going to continue to grow and grow. And that's what gets me excited, because I know that the person that's going to make the biggest check, the biggest bang, the biggest amount of money, the biggest impact hasn't even signed up yet. And I want them on my team. You should want that person, that him or her, on your team. And most of us all look at this and go, well, you know, that sounds great, but I need to figure this thing out first. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to introduce somebody that's going to talk about, and I had the same conversation with him about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And I had the same conversation with about 25 other people. Just so happened this one person listened and continues to listen. And they continue to have incredible success, continues to get accolades, continues to get recognized by the company, continues to be a model Symmetry agent for people to follow and look up to. And he still asks for advice. He still asks, what can I do better? He still asks, how can I grow as a person? And we start talking about guys, it's not, you have no idea who you know knows. And if you're going to sit around and wait until you get a good grip on what you're doing, you might as well put a 7 month to a year delay on your business, building your business. Because unfortunately, guys, the people that you know, it's who they know are the ones that are going to make you a lot of money. Every single person in my sales organization, 100% came off of somebody I knew personally. 100%. That they're doing anything. When I originally talked to Ron Williams a year, two and a half years ago, he got excited about the business and he moved to Kansas, the one place they weren't mailing leads, and he had an opportunity to present itself. But he introduced me to a girl that he went to high school with named Inga Hickman. Inga Hickman worked with a girl named Katrina Mills. You heard that name? Top 10, top 3, top 5, SFG. Inga Hickman was just recognized as one of the top rising stars of the entire company this last previous training. I showed a video to my mom and dad. And I said, Mom, Dad, I know you're not going to want to do this, but what I want you to do is see what it is that I'm doing and see if you happen to know anybody who may have an interest in doing this. And a year and a half, two years later, I get a text from my mom saying, you remember your cousin Kent? And I said, of course I do. His son just graduated college. He's being recruited by a lot of different financial institutions. You may want to give him a call because I think what you have could be a better opportunity for him. Top 10, top 20 people in Symmetry Financial Group, top 3 in the SWAT team. Mike Colburn is a personal friend of Matt and Brad. I knew Matt and Brad for 10 years. Vlad Stefanovic, friend of Matt and Brad. Elijah Gibbs knows through somebody who knows somebody through Matt and Brad. Aaron Hobby, we could go on and on and on and on. And it's like, guys, we have the recipe here. And everyone goes, well, that looks really good. Let me go try it and do it the same way I think it's going to work. Let me go run an ad in the paper for someone who can't find a job anywhere, who's low in life, who's in a situation where financially things that may hit them hard, and maybe in a bad spot. Let me go out and see if I can recruit a whole bunch of those people and make them become successful. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But why not, if you're going to go out and build your own company and you had to pick your top 5 vice presidents of your company and said, hey, you have a chance to go out and build your own company and you can pick 5 people to do it with, who would you go talk to? Bill Gates talked to 5 of his friends. 3 of them did it. 2 said no. How are the other 2 doing? Probably suicidal. How about the other 3? They're doing all right. Gus Villagran, friend of mine, known for 15 years. Talked to my best friend, Daniel, who brought somebody in named Dante, who brought somebody in who found a guy named Rick DeValdez, who before he quit found me Sherry Kursky, who found me Christina Lopez. And I could go on and on and on. Marlon Faulkner borrowed $300 from Derek Brock because he needed to pay his electric bill, and his pastor told him no twice. Chris Page helped give Tim Diekman, top in the company, guys, right now, $28,000, $30,000. He had to give him a ride because his car broke down and took him a ride to the gas station or to church or something and talked to him about Symmetry Financial Group. Derek Schwint knew Chris Page. Chris Page got a call from Derek Brock, and Derek Brock said, hey, I think I found something. I found something for me and my family. I think I'm also maybe for you and your family. And because of the relationship Chris had with Derek, he goes, if you're in, I'm in. Let's do it. Show him what you got. And I could go on, and I could go on, and I can go on. And I can look at people in the company who went out and recruited 450 people this year. 450 people, cold market, people they didn't know. And they had 39 of them submit an application last month. I can look at Derek Brock's organization, who recruited, I think, a total of 58 all year, and look at last month, and 39 of them wrote an application. So I'm not saying we're better. I'm not saying that we have a better way. Maybe I am a little bit. What I'm saying, guys, is there's a gold mine in every one of your friends and families and people that you know, and there's a way to go out and talk to them without trying to recruit them. I always got taught, sort, don't sell. You need to sort, don't sell. Because if you sit around and you wait, here's what's going to happen to the people that you know. They're going to look at you. And if you're already successful and you've already done great things in your life, you already had a lot of success in the past, they're going to look at you and go, okay, great. You go out and you blow it out of the doors, right? You make 10 grand a month, and you think, man, I'm going to go back and get 10 grand a month, and I'll show all, I run my check. Hey, look, $10,000, deposit my bank account. Everyone's going to come over here and go, I'm in. Wrong. How do I know this? Because I've done that before. I made that mistake in a different company before. Because all your friends look at you, and they're going to do one or two things. They're going to go, oh, Joey is successful already. Joey's successful at everything he does. I'm not going to get involved because, of course, Joey's going to do good. Doesn't mean I'm going to do good. So you blew it. And in reality, in the back of their mind, their subconscious mind, they're going, hey, what if I get involved and I don't do as good as Joey did? So if you sucked at everything in your life and you never had any success out of it, and for the first time you found a company and an opportunity and a people, group of people who are willing to coach and train and develop you and basically force-feed you success, and for the first time in your life you actually hit it and you have success your first month, all the people you know go, wow, if so-and-so did that and he made 10 grand, what if I get involved? I don't do that well. And they're not going to come out and tell you this, guys. It's just the psychology behind it. Now, what if worse yet, your learning curve is a little bit longer than you expect. There's a lot of people that are top people in this company, guys, who took a while to figure it out, who weren't thoroughbreds out of the gate, who were some of the worst of the worst. Rita Law, one of the top people in this company, was 0 for 13 in the first 13 sits. Sat with 13 people, wrote zero applications. Now one of the top managers in the company. What if she waited? See, when her upline said, hey, recruit, guess what? She started recruiting. And when she started recruiting, she had other people that she was getting involved in the business, while she was getting involved in learning. And when she wasn't learning and having success, before she could quit, she didn't want to quit because she thought, what if these people have success? So she kept going. And she made $5,000 in annual premium volume. She didn't make $5,000 cash. She wrote about five policies her first month part-time. Next month, wrote about five or six again. Next month, wrote about nine or ten part-time. Fourth month, had one other person that actually got through licensing, went out, and they collectively wrote $14,000 together. 6 months later, they had over 30 people writing over $200,000 in annual premium volume in the first 10 months. Wow. What if she would have waited? See, if you go out and you've had success, could you imagine if I would have waited to recruit people, guys, and I went out and I fell flat on my face in the first month in this business and I didn't have the success I thought I was going to have? Gus did good his first month, but he didn't come screaming out of the gates. He didn't write $100,000 in volume his first month. What if you go out and you fail miserably and write $2,000 and you just really were horrible on the phone and it was something that was unique and different to you, and you waited. Now your entire friends and family and warm market, the people that they know are looking at you going, hey, so-and-so, they're really good. They did horrible. I'm not getting involved. So they go, well, Nate, what happens if I've been involved for the last 6 months? I already messed this up. It's good because the whole point of this, and this gentleman I'm going to introduce you to is going to share this with you, the whole point of this is that you're not that important. I'm not that important. I didn't recruit any of those people I talked about. The system did. Matt and Brad did. Edward did. Paul did. Everyone in my upline, I leveraged the system. I leveraged my upline. I said, hey, listen. I may be getting involved with something. I'm not even sure if I'm going to do it. You may or may not be interested, but I have a video I want you to watch. Take a look at it, and if you have an interest, I'm going to put you in touch with some people that can give you more information. Period. That was it. I took the spotlight off of me, and I shined it on the people who were having success. So therefore, could you imagine, guys? I mean, a lot of you guys, it's so funny. You guys recruit, and your egos are so huge. You think you're that important. I knew right off the bat I'm not that important. Can you imagine? Think about your favorite movie. Can you imagine that you get all your friends together, you sit them on a couch, you go, okay, guys, ready? I'm going to reenact The Gladiator for you. It's my favorite movie. And you sit in the living room for 3.5 hours trying to reenact The Gladiator? How impressed are your friends going to be? No matter how great of an actor you think you are, wouldn't it be better to put their ass in the car and drive them to the theater and say, hey, grab some popcorn, I'll get the soda, let's sit down and watch my favorite movie, and then you can make an opinion based upon what I've seen and why it's my favorite movie as opposed to me trying to react it in front of you? That's what's hilarious to me. Well, I explained it to my friends. No, you didn't. Think about your favorite movie and how many times you watched it. If I told you to recite it from the start to finish, would you ever be able to do 100% of every single line? The answer is no. So how in the world can the people that you know and they know see what you saw if you get in the way and become the shining spotlight on yourself? And I had a conversation similar to this, to this gentleman who didn't come out of the run guns blazing when he came out in the field, didn't get started and go, oh, my gosh, shot to the top of the company and shot top personal volume. And I said, the unique, awesome part about this business is you play a very small part. In order to have success in this business, you want to make a little bit off of a lot of people as opposed to a lot of money off a little bit of people. So if I were you, if you can start getting people involved now, they're going to help fund your learning curve. What I mean by that is if you're, while you're trying to figure it out, you're going to find people better than you. They're going to get trained by people that are better than both of us because we don't know what the hell we're doing. And then they're going to make us money while we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And this is exactly what happened. Before you know it, me and him, we had a sales organization that did over $100,000 in our fifth month in business, and we still were trying to figure out what the heck we're doing. We didn't know what we were doing. But this is cool. Did $100,000 a month in this business. Pretty soon, he's on stage getting nominated as a rising star. Pretty soon, the next year, he's sending me a text saying I wasn't with my family, and here I am with my kids celebrating Christmas. And a picture of his kids putting the Christmas tree up and decorating the house and saying, thanks for introducing me to this opportunity. And that's all the credit I can get. I introduced him to an opportunity that changed his life. Next thing you know, he's on stage, rising star. Next thing you know, you hear his name on conference calls. Next thing you know, we go to the last conference, and out of six people out of 1,400 nominated in the entire company, he's getting an award for the leadership award in a $100 million company. And 2.5 years ago, he borrowed $300 from Derek Brock to pay his electric bill. And all he did was pay attention. When Matt told him to do something, he said, okay, how can I do it better? When Brad told him to do something, he said, how can I do it better? When I told him to do something, he said, how can I do it better? So there's no better person that I know to introduce to you about how he is killing it in terms of building his business, how in the last several months, 2 to 3 months, he's contracted over 40 or 50 people, all from people he knew who knew somebody who knew somebody, or the people he brought in who they knew. And that's why he's dominating right now. That's why his sales organization is growing at the clip and the pace that it is. And that's why in a handful of months, he's going to be at the top of the top of the compensation plan and be at 110%. You know what the cool thing about that is? I had a little role to play. Because I picked up a phone. And I said, hey, I just looked at something that you may have an interest in. I don't know if you're going to have an interest in it or not. I have a 20-minute online presentation I want you to take a look at. If you like what you see, I'll introduce you to a couple people who can tell you more about it and answer your questions. And I look at it this way, guys. And I look at it and I go, what if things were different? What if I went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma? And I was at a board meeting when we were talking about leverage planning, and Mike Colburn was there, and Matt and Brad were there, and Derek Brock was there, and we sat in a room. What if when we got done, I was walking out the door, and I turned to my right, and I see Marlon Faulkner sitting there. He goes, Nate, what's happening, buddy? What's going on? And I go, hey, Marlon. We start catching up. I said, how's the family? He's like, oh, well, you know, that didn't work out. What's going on in your life? Well, you know, same old, same old. Still trying to hit it, selling insurance. And he goes through and he starts telling about everything that's going on. He goes, how are you doing? And I tell him about the trips we've been on and how wonderful our family is and how I'm married to the love of my life and my best friend and how my son's in basketball and he's in private school. And I just start telling about how incredible things are now. And I finally had the time freedom where I can go out and do what I want with who I want, whatever I want. And I'm with this amazing company. And I can't imagine, and he turns to me and he looked at me with those eyes that he has. And I can't imagine him going to me and looking at me and going, how come you never called me about it? And me turning back and looking at him and saying, because I didn't think you'd be interested. Or I didn't think you'd do it. And I don't think people relive that movie. I don't people really think the reality of what if I don't. See, because what if I did and he decided not to do it? At least I showed him the opportunity. My job's done. But what if you don't? And so I want this gentleman to get on and share with you guys what he's been doing to have the success he's been doing and to wrap up this call tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my business partner, one of my top agency directors in my organization, Mr. Marlon Faulkner.
I really only have two words, man. Thank you. You put it like that. Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. You did the work. So I know I kind of set you up. Now you're like, oh, how am I supposed to talk now? Hey, last time I did that to Marlon, though, right? I'll give him a chance to catch his breath. Last time I did that something like that to Marlon, he was in front of about 300 people in a room somewhere where I tossed him the marker at a breakout session. So, hey, you turned that into a pretty awesome thing. So get your notebooks out. Get your pen and paper ready, guys, because Marlon's going to teach you exactly what he did to get where he's at. So the floor is yours, my friend.
I appreciate it, man, Mr. Alford. Appreciate you sitting down with me and having a conversation with me. One of the things that I always saw you do is you're very intentional, and I knew pretty early on when I got here, watching you, just being intentional. If I couldn't catch you in one area, I was going to catch you with another, and I would never let you get far away from me. I would always keep you at arm's distance, and the one way you taught me how to do that has worked over and over and over again. And like you said, the rules of success will work anywhere. And so if you hadn't spent that 20 or 30 minutes on the phone with me that day, I can't imagine. I never really thought about it until you just said it, where I'd be today. So thank you very much. Matt and Brad, I don't know if you guys are there. I'm going to share a little bit about what I'm doing with Building a Team. I know that Matt has some stuff, and Brad, I just want to make sure you guys are there.
Yep, this is Brad. I'm here, Marlon.
Okay. I'm going to kind of go into what I learned and what Nate taught me. So if you have a pencil or a pen, or it's going to be real simple, and I want you guys to chip in a little bit, but all I'm doing is being a good student. All I've ever done is being a good student of what Nate taught me. All I've ever done is be a good student of what Matt and Brad taught me. And it's true. I think people's egos are too big, but when you're broke and you're homeless, you don't have much of an ego. I just did whatever he told me to do. And I think that the problem that some people have is they get in here, because people ask me all the time, how can I build an agency? I said, go to agent training. Watch the art of building an agency. How do I build an agency? How do I do what you do? Go to agent training, click on resources, and go to the art of building an agency. There's a conversation Nate had where I just called him on the phone, and I said, I'm struggling, but I don't know what to do. I was a maybe $8,000 a month producer. At the time, I was still brand new. I said, what do I do? And we had a conversation, and he recorded it, which scares me because I think he records all our conversations, so I have to be careful what I say. But he recorded it, and he put it on the website and said, this is how you build an agency, and I did exactly that. So people don't want to know what I did, and I can regurgitate it all and tell you how to invite. Nate already said it. I made a list. I called up some people and said, hey, I'm getting started involved with the business. I'm just getting involved. Not very good at it, but I want you to watch a video. You may or may not be interested. If you are, give me a call back, and I want to get you on the phone. This guy is killing it. That's all I did. And I want to talk about when I brought the way that I think someone's in this business. See, I look at things differently. A lot of times, I don't think someone's really in this business until they've written about 20,000 or 30,000 in production, like they have 3 to 5 recruits. I don't really see them as being here. I want them to be here. I just don't know if they'll stay. The numbers have proven that most people won't stay. And so one of the things that I do is I did exactly what Nate told me to do. He said, make a list of people. I made a list. He said, get me on the phone with 20 people in the next 7 days. The guys I failed tremendously. I had them talk to, I think, 18. And the difference is most people, one, if you're writing out something, number one, most people won't make a list. That's the first thing he told me to do. I didn't judge it. I just made a list. Most agents are going to go out and recruit one or two people, and they expect that agent's going to do what they said they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And in reality, those people may or may not do it. The reality is that person is probably going to be looking at you for everything they need because you've only got one or two people on your team, and people wonder why. The first thing I did was Nate taught me how to create momentum. See, my job is not to recruit people. See, most people say, man, you recruit. And Nate taught me, my job is not to recruit people. My job is to recruit people for my people. I read this book, this old book I won't say the name of it, but it says a cord of three strands isn't easily broken. And I think an agent with three agents on his team is not easily broken. I was talking with Brad. We talked about this example. So just imagine if you have an agent and you go out and build this agent. And guys, I'm all over the place. I'm going to share a little bit at the end of the call. I've had a very hard week, and I want to share some stuff with you guys. So if I'm all over the place, just try to keep up with me. So I want Brad and Matt maybe inject some. But if you have an agent and you're building a stool, if you just recruit one agent, how many of you guys have ever sat on a stool with one leg? Like, how's that working out for you? But if you recruit a stool with two legs, at least a little thing, you can sit on it, but you can have a little bit of balance, but you have to still use some of your muscles and kind of hold it up. When you recruit you get a stool, you're building a stool, and it's got three legs, it's not going anywhere. How about four legs, or five legs, or six legs? So the first thing I did was I made a list. I got my people on the phone with Nate. Why? Because I didn't have anything. I didn't have an ego. So Nate told me this. He said, share your upline story. While you're doing that, you can create your story so that one day you'll be able to have your people's story. I'm going to say that again because people miss that. It's on the video that I know everyone on the phone has watched, but I'm going to repeat it. You have to share your upline story. Why? Because I remember Nate said, when you get started in this business, do you want to wait till you get really, really good at this business and then bring all your friends and family, or do you want to recruit people right away? And I said, I want to wait till I get really good at this, mate. He said, I thought the same thing, too. My mentor told me that was the dumbest thing he'd ever heard. You know, he's really telling me, Marlon, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He said, how about you get started, you let me train them, you let me develop them. I did 50,000 my first month. You let me work with them while you're building your story, and by the time you get good enough, you have a team of people. The guy, the average person won't do that because you want to talk to one or two people. But I still get my ego out of the way. I shared my mentor story, and I sent people a video. This is not easy. It's not easy, but just very simple because it's hard. I'm going to talk about this list. I shared my manager's story. I started to create my story. And I have created my people story. But I'm going to share this. Now, Brad had an example about recruiting people of influence. But you guys have to understand, I recruited Derek Brock because Derek Brock loaned me $300, and he watched my life change over 7 or 8 months. And I said, I started to work with him. I'm building this list of people. I said, Derek, you got to get this thing going too because you still got a business. So why don't you send people a video and share my story with them? I'll get them on the phone with Nate. And he called his buddy Chris Page. And Chris Page, like Nate said, talked to Tim Beekman and Derek Schwint. I have one conversation I had with Derek Brock. There's a regional agency director. There's an agency manager. And there's a key leader and a soon-to-be key leader. And what we did next was these guys said, we'll talk about this. We've got to get people in the room. And so they said, we've got to win now. So we went up to Kansas City and did a meeting. One of the things that you talked about, Brad, is that a lot of people recruit down. And I want to we'll be talking about that because I wasn't a person of influence. I had no one market. I was broke and homeless and almost divorced. So I didn't have – I wasn't a person of influence. But one of the things you mentioned was people recruit down. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's easy to recruit down. When I say recruit down, I'm saying people that look – up to you, maybe you've had more success than them, or maybe you're more influential than them. It's easy to recruit those people because you can just tell them what to do and they'll do it. So a lot of people go the easy route, and sometimes cold market's the same way. It's easier to recruit that way. It's easier to recruit somebody that looks up to you that maybe isn't as good. And so people do that, but what happens is when you recruit easy, your business is hard. When you recruit hard, your business is easy. If you can recruit up, if you can recruit, so if you're a 6 or a 7, if you can recruit a 7 or an 8 and help them recruit an 8 or a 9 and help them recruit a 9 or a 10, a 6 isn't going to be able to recruit a 10. They don't have enough influence. But they might be able to recruit a 7. A 7 can recruit an 8. And you do that by what you're talking about, Marlon, getting them on a three-way with somebody else, somebody that's had more success. So here's what happened. When you're talking about, this is so key. I hope everybody is getting this. When you're talking about a one-legged stool, a two-legged stool, and finally a three-legged stool can stand on its own, here's what Marlon's talking about. Marlon, let's use an example. You recruited Derek. Derek, you recruited up, right? He had more influence with people in his life than you had in your life at that time because of where you were at, because Derek was a successful business owner. So he could make several phone calls, 7 or 8 phone calls, and recruit almost everybody he talked to, right? But he didn't have a fire under his butt. He wasn't hungry. But he introduced you to Chris Page. Okay, now you've got one level down. You got Derek. Derek by himself is not a solid leg. You might think he is. You may recruit somebody you think is a 10, but if you don't help them recruit somebody else, they could be gone in 30 days. But he helped them recruit Chris Page. That's still not solid. It's a two-legged stool. But then you helped Chris recruit Tim Diekman, the Diekman, and some other people. That leg is strong now. It can stand on its own, and now you can start working with them. But here's the other thing that I think – for me, really helped when I understood this. Fires grow from the bottom up, not from the top down. If you were going to light a rope on fire, would you start with the top and light it like a candle? Which one's going to burn quicker, that or if you light the bottom of the rope? Because here's what happens. When you recruit 3 levels deep like that, not only do you lock it in, another thing you do is you work with the Diekmans. That's going to light them on fire. It's going to light Chris Page on fire, and then it's going to light Derek on fire. So you work at that bottom. You create the fire down at the bottom where people are hungry. The Diekmans were hungry. Chris Page was hungry. Derek Sprint was hungry. You work with those people, you create a fire. You create a frenzy. And that's going to light everyone above them on fire. Here's the third thing that it does is when you're recruiting up, you're working with better and better and better quality people. And those are the ones you're working with. So it's really important to dig and dig. We call it digging in the group, digging in your organization, digging with your contacts. So make the list. Most people, that's where they fail. It's the first step, making the list. But then I want to know, and this is what you're so good at, Marlon. I'm watching what you're doing. It's unbelievable. Brian Pope, I was just on the phone with him last week, and he said, I am so proud of Marlon. I'm so proud of Marlon, what he's doing. I can't believe he had – you know, him and between Ike and Mike had 50, almost 50 people in your base shop. And here's what you're doing. And I don't want to put words in my mouth. I want you to expand on this. You're telling people, get me on the phone with your top 10 people that you know in the next 48 hours. Right? So tell us what you're doing there. Getting people on the phone quickly on a 3-way. And then you're doing that again with those people. And then doing it again with those people. Tell us what you're doing there.
Well, that's what it was. When I got my people, and I appreciate that, Brad, because you're right about people are scared to recruit up, so they recruit down, and the work is harder. But what I did when Nate would say, get me on the phone with somebody, because I started to value his time, I only wanted to put him on the phone with the best 20 people I knew. And so what happened is, we talked about this, most people make the chicken list. Like you go through your phone and you go through your Facebook and you go through, this person, I'm going to call this person. He's broke. Yeah, he's broke like I am. I'm going to call this person. They hate their job too. This person's an attorney. He makes too much money. He probably wouldn't want to do it. I'm not going to call him. Add him to the chicken list. Yeah, I'm going to get this person. She's a teacher. This guy's a football coach and he would love to do this. This person's in real estate. He made $300,000 last year. He's probably not going to be interested. I didn't have a chicken list. I was scared that my mentor was going to leave me behind. Everyone's scared. I was still scared, but I wasn't scared enough not to make that call and say, hey, I need to get you on the phone with the person. And so what I do is I want to talk to your top 10 people. So I listen. So when I got started, they didn't even know this. It's funny. When I got Nate on the phone, he talked to a guy named Eric Williams. Eric Williams is in the real estate business. He lives in Houston. He's making $300,000 to $400,000 a year. He talked to me, he said, it's not for me. But I got him on the phone with Nate. And he remembered that. And what he did was he watched my business. And then a year or two later, he saw me on stage in January. He saw a picture of me and Nate on stage getting my $1 million ring award. And he called me when I got back. And he said, okay, what are you doing again? Tell me about it. Are you doing the same thing? Because you've never done the same thing. Are you still doing the same thing? Yes, yeah, the first time in my life I've had a job for more than 2 years. Isn't it incredible? He said, I want to do it. He came on board. You know the first thing I told him? I need to talk to your best 20 people. And the first person he had to call was Mike Leidecker. Eric Williams is not here anymore. Mike Leidecker had 20 people at the conference, and he did $20,000. because all Eric did was share a video with them and told Lenny to get you on the phone with my manager. I want to talk to your best 10 people. Listen, if you think I'm skipping, you don't think that, I don't care if someone makes $1 million a year, you don't think that Nate Offer and Brad Smith and Matt Smith can recruit them into your business? Because they can teach them how to do it better and faster and have, that's the only reason we have that chicken list, because you don't think that you can recruit that person. You can't. I realized I couldn't do it. But I realized I knew someone who could, someone who could. I remember Brad told me he had a guy on the phone with Brian Pope. So I get my guys on the phone. Now they value my time. I want to talk to your 10 or, with Ike, I want to talk to your 10 or 15 best people. In 7 days, I put a time frame. Now listen to this. I'm going to attach a time frame to it. I'm not going to say, I'm going to talk to your 10 or 15 best people 6 months later. I talked to three of them. Let's get the other 13. No, hey, in the next 5 to 7 days, I need to talk to your best 10 people. If, and then I tell a story. See, the one thing that I realize is Matt and Brad and Nate are so good in the home. Mike Coleman, Aaron Hall, all these guys, Gus and Ron, Brandon DeVos, you know what I know they're good at? They're good at telling stories in the home. I feel like I'm really good at telling stories on the phone. So when I talk to my people, hey, if you want to work, you know, if you want to get your people involved in this business, and I say, I tell Nate's story. This guy went out, had no insurance experience, did $50,000 the first month, broke the company record. Then he was in a competition he didn't even know he was in, and he came in first, and some guy did some stuff and made it up, and so he got second, so he got really upset because you don't want to upset him. He got upset, and then he won March Madness. This guy I'm going to get you on the phone with. So I valued my time. The first thing to get me on the phone with your top 20 people in the first 5 to 10. And people think, well, you're spending a lot of time on this, Marlon. But man, you're spending a lot of time on just making a list. If I made a list. Yeah, but you called them and told them about insurance. You didn't get them on the phone with your manager. You didn't get them on the phone with the top three guys in this business. Matt, Brad, Nate. Nate Offer. Matt Smith, Brad Smith. Did you make a list to get them on the phone with your best 20, or did you have them on the chicken list? So I wanted to touch on that because I think a lot of people make a list and they have to check a list. I had an agent has been telling me since February, since they came back from conference, they wanted to recruit and build a team, and they still haven't made a list. And then people say, well, why are you spending so much time on the list? Because that's the first thing they told me to do, and that's what I did. I met with a guy that makes close to $300,000 or $400,000 a year. He got on my phone when I was broke, and I recruited him into this business because of Nate. And he came back around a few months later and recruited Mike Leidecker. Mike Leidecker got me on the phone, one of the top guys in his former company, the number one guy in his former company is coming on board. When Nate said, the people that are going to make the most money out of it here yet, I'll tell you they're not. So, number one, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to finish up. How do you build a team fast? Most people have never done this, but just write a list and start with your top 10 or 20, like Brad said, your top 10 or 20 most influential people. That's who I would get on the phone with, your mentor. Not yourself. I wouldn't tell them about insurance. I'd say, here's the video. Would you do me a favor? It's on the Art of Building an Agency. If they have more influence than you, hey, can you do me a favor? I really respect your opinion. I still use that. It's so funny. I still use that. Have them watch the video.
I still use it, Marlon. I still use it.
It's so funny. People want to do it. Make your list. Have them watch a video. Have them do a three-way call with your upline. So number one is how to build your team. Make a list. Top two people. Top two influencers. Or 20 people. Get them on the phone with your mentor in the next 5 days. Like Nate said, if you've been here a year, do you have a chicken list? Do you have a real list? Make your list. Send them a video, get them online with your manager. That's all I've ever done. There is no magic to it. Number three thing I do is I promote for an event. Well, I'll never forget when Derek Brock said, Chris Page has really got some stuff. Chris Page has got some stuff. Let's go do an event in Kansas City. And I'll never forget walking in the door and seeing Nate, and he brought his wife, Lauren. He was talking to this guy, Tim, and I started calling him Dykeman. It took me and Nate about 8 months to realize his name was Dykeman, but... And I remember seeing him stand at him and Jim and how their lives are different. And I remember Derek Schwint and his wife Sabrina were in the room that night. It wasn't an event. They created an event. So once you make your list, have an event. They said, let's go up to Kansas City. Let's do an event. Brad said, hey, I'll be there. Edward Pritchett, hey, Edward, we're serious about this. Edward Pritchett came down to that event.
So, Marlon, tell us what you did with Mike and Ike, because you did the same thing. You looked back at what worked. You had a huge success with Derek and Chris and Tim Diekman and the Schwentz, and you know, that whole leg just went crazy. And you said, okay, that worked. So then you started over. In the last 90 days maybe, 90 to 120 days, you did it again. You worked with Mike Liebecker and Ike, and you started doing three ways, and then what happened? What did you do? You had all this explosive growth.
I'll say this. In February, when I came back to the National Conference, in my base shop, I only had three people. And I told someone, I'll have 50 people in my base shop at conference. And I made a commitment. See, a lot of people don't know the difference between a goal and commitment. This is too much to teach on, mate. A lot of people don't know the difference between a goal and a commitment, but I said, I'll have 50 people there. I didn't know Mike Liebecker, but because I believed in my heart and I knew I would do whatever it takes to get 50 people there, I recruited a guy named Eric, and I recruited Mike. And when Mike Liebecker came into this business, he said, I got to win now. I said, do you want to – I asked him the same question my mentor asked me. Same thing that Nate said to me, hey, do you want to get good first, Mike, and really blow this thing out of the water and then start recruiting people? Or let me tell you what the number one guy in the company did. Let me tell you what Matt and Brad – let me tell you what Nate Alford did. So I shared my upline story. He said, no, I want to do that. I said, then I need to talk to 5 or 10 people in the next 5 to 7 days. And let's do some three-way calls. And I taught him how to edify me and how to grow his business, and he did that. And then, you know, the next thing he did, he said, I've got a bunch of people that want to meet you. So we went and did a meeting. What is anything big? He had a bunch of guys from his former company that wanted to see what he was doing. So we got in the room and got together. I think 15 of those people were at conference. I didn't even know Ike Muinello in June, at the end of June. He had quit his other job, and he found out about Symmetry from a guy that had heard about Symmetry, and he said, well, let me look online and see who I can work with, because I don't even know anything about Symmetry. And he found me, because I put it out there that I was going to have 50 people to conference. Because Nate taught me how to put something out there and follow through with it. Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe he can achieve. And I get on the phone with this guy named Ike, and he says, I'm going to blow it out of the water. I said, well, do you want to wait to get really good? Because I know you've done insurance before. Do you want to start recruiting right now? He said, not only do I want to recruit right now, I want to be the best recruiter in this business. I said, well, no, let's go. And in 60 days, we had 50 people, 52 actually signed up for conference. Not 2 years, in 30 days. Because I did what Nate taught me 2.5 years ago. I've never been the number one producer. My average at a six-month span was I was doing $5,000 a week as a producer. And you got these guys, Ron came in here and did that in 2 weeks. Some of you guys can do that with your eyes closed. Well, I'll never forget what Brian Pope said. He said there's only three ways to make money in insurance. He said write more business. I mean, you got to go out there and spend more time out there, out in the field writing business. He said write bigger business. That means you got to work hard to do these leverage planning deals and these big deals and look for all the sharks in the well. Or he said, you'll get more people to help you write business. And I figured out my purpose. My purpose is to get more people. And I'm back in the field. I'm writing business now. But I figured out my purpose. And I'm going to end the call with this tonight. Ooh, this has been a tough week. My wife went on a cruise for her birthday. She went with three ladies. And she was having a good time. She saved up. She went. It was her birthday present to herself. And a day into the call, she said, Marlon, something's happening. One of the ladies' daughter that's here in Claremore that we go to church with, 16 years old, she took a gun. She put it between her eyeballs and she pulled the trigger. She he didn't die. Hunter said that this lady was frantic. Her daughter was dying. And she told the captain, stop the ship, stop the ship. And the captain said, I can't stop the ship. You can get off tomorrow and call me. She said, you get me off the ship or I'll jump off this ship. They brought a boat up. They had to go alongside the cruise ship. They put a catamaran. She had to slide down because she had to get back to her daughter because she had purpose. They turned around. Me and another girl knew a guy that had an airplane that Claremont had to drive to Joplin, and he flew down to New Orleans, picked her up when she got to the shore, and then flew her back to be with her daughter. My daughter passed away this morning. I got to church. My pastor and I were good friends. I had to coordinate people going to the hospital because no one knew where she was. There was a big storm. She coded twice. I believe that people, she committed suicide. She was hurting. 16-year-old, beautiful girl. She committed suicide. She was just at church last week and smiling. You never know what's going on in someone's life. Somebody that, I promise you, if you listen to me, somebody that you know, last night they were on their knees and they were crying and praying for an opportunity like Symmetry. You don't know who's maxed out on their credit card. I don't care how much money they make. You don't know who's maxed out on time away from their family. You don't know who's on the brink of divorce. You underestimate the value of a phone call in someone's life. I think about Avery. What if someone just would have reached out to her and said, hey, what's really going on? And I start thinking about this business. Because Nate gave me a call when I was homeless. My life was changed forever. Some of you guys won't make a list because you're chicken. What that really tells me is you don't have a purpose. All I'm asking you is to not think about yourself. That's the one thing I couldn't do is think about myself. See, my whole life I thought about myself. I thought about paying my bills. I thought about my job. And I thought about myself and my marriage. I was a very selfish person. What did that get me? Almost divorced, kicked out of my house, homeless, and broke. And I stopped focusing on myself and said, you know what, I have a gift. And I'm going to bring people to me, and I'm going to just push them on to my mentor. I'm going to push them on to Nate. And I'm going to bring people in. I'm going to push them on to Matt and Brad. And I'm going to bring people in. I'm going to push them on. That's my gift. That's my purpose. See, for me, building an agency gave me a purpose. It wasn't about me. I believe that people are discouraged and hopeless, and we won't make a list of calls up because we think they're happy. In reality, you know, they think you're happy. Why are you here? I'll close with this. I heard it said that the average life expectancy of a human today is 25 years old. Now, when I say that people are looking at me funny, I think that people die. I think they give up when they're 25. We don't get buried until we're 70 or 80. My husband watches this stupid show called The Walking Dead. I believe without a purpose, you're the walking dead. I believe without a vision, you're the walking dead. I believe that people quit on their dreams because their reality is bigger than their dreams. And for me, my dreams were bigger than my reality. And I met a man who said, if you'll just do this, you'll change your life. And I don't understand how people don't do it. I don't understand. I don't get it. Probably how they understand. I don't go out and write a lot of business. I don't understand how people don't go out and recruit a bunch of people. But people are dying. Somebody was on their knees praying for this opportunity that we won't call them. Think about this. We're all given a certain amount of time to experience life on this earth, to carry out our dreams, our destinies. So we don't realize that from the moment we're born, that time meter, it gets smaller and smaller. From today forward, the time meter that you have on this earth is smaller and smaller. Let this sink in. You cannot buy time. You can't grow time. You can't ask for more time. You can only lose time. I think the biggest mistake that people make here is that we give ourselves too much time to accomplish what we want to accomplish. You don't make a list because you say, I'll make a list next week. I'll do that next time. tomorrow I'll make a list. And so what you're saying is what you need to get done, you think you have more time. I think that makes us waste time. See, it makes us comfortable. Everyone heard that everyone wants to be a diamond in a world full of rocks. But evolutionary concept, there's, you know what? There is no pressure. It takes pressure to build a diamond. There is no pressure. You have to create pressure for yourself to become a diamond. And the only way to do that is to understand the value of time. When I look at Matt and Brad and Nate, I realize that they've created this imaginary pressure that says, I don't have time to wait. You know why Nate talks so fast? Because he didn't have time to talk slow. Matt and Brad didn't have time. They were some of the fastest to the top level in our company, and Nate's right behind him. He's going to beat that record. Why? Because they said, I don't have time to wait. Because they understand the value of time, and what I realized is I didn't understand the value of time. And some of you guys don't understand the value. You think you have forever. And that meter, that second, is ticking. Stop killing time. Because eventually, it'll turn around and time will start killing you. So you have the power to prevent waste of time. You also have the power to kill time. I just want you to ask yourself, how are you spending your time? What is your why? What is your vision? What is your passion? What wakes you up every morning? Time is the most valuable resource we have. I can save money for later. I can't save time. I can invest money. I can't invest time. I can even share my money. I can't share time. Sooner or later, you're going to realize that the only thing that you wish you had more time of, had more of, was time. Sooner or later, you're going to realize the only thing you wish you had more of was time. My challenge to you is by midnight tonight, make your list. You won't have time tomorrow. Start writing, write down your goals and your dreams tonight by midnight. You don't have time to do it tomorrow. Get rid of all the things in your life that are holding you back, all the fears. Write down your fears and your failures by midnight tonight. You don't have time tomorrow. That's all I want you guys to understand. Is the only thing I did was I let someone speak into my life and made a phone call to me because he wasn't afraid because he knew he didn't have time. All I'm asking you guys to do is make a list, send someone a video, and let's go blow this thing out of the water. This is going to be one of the biggest months in our team, not because we're trying to break any records, just because I believe people are going to have a purpose this month. Nate Offer is going to reach 110% of the fastest in company history. You know what? I'm going to help him do it. Why? Because he'll change my life. I owe it to him to do the best that I can. Because it's not just about me. So if this is not just about you, write your purpose down. Make up your list, and let's go kick this thing in the tail, and let's be the best that we know we can be, and that we are, and that we will be. And if people will look at us years from now and say, what happened to them? You know what? People look at you and say, those guys aren't wasting any time. You guys have a good night. I appreciate you so much. I'm honored and blessed to be Director Nate Offert, to be Director Matt and Brad Smith. Have a great night. We'll see you guys at the top.